Blog Talk Radio.
I want winners. Hello, hello, once again, this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, sorry about that, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again, 347-637-3220. I'm going to be conversing about and talking about some starts and sits for this week in fantasy football, week number 4. Two teams are on a bye. We're talking about Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, so we're not going to be talking about them. But we are going to be talking about the rest of the National Football League and your fantasy teams. We want to do it again. That's the theme of this. We wanted to do it again. We did it last week. We told you that the prime time players, and I named them off, Jamal Charles, Larry Fitzgerald, Darren McFadden, and Andre Johnson. Unfortunately, CJ2K hasn't got the message or the memo, but he will get the memo, and he will be performing for you. So it's all about doing it again this week until the end of the fantasy football season. The chat room is open also. If you'd like to lay your questions, comments, or make a statement in the chat room, you can also do that. It's always open season in the chat room. I always enjoy the comments that are or questions or whatever that's made in the chat room because I love doing this. I love fantasy football. And if you're listening, I love doing it for you. Believe that. So we got about an hour show. It could be running over more than an hour. So get your pens and pieces of paper. Hopefully you pretty much have been setting your lineup. If you've been listening to me, and I hate to be tooting my own horn, but I'm going to do it because that's how I am. If you've been listening before the season, I ran over running backs. I ran over wide receivers, tight ends, and, of course, quarterbacks. And my man Vic, who was in here on 1 week, ran over some IDPs, individual defensive positions, if you're in such a league, and you've been following them. These players that I've been naming, especially ones that I were targeting, have been performing quite well. Trust me. And the thing about it, I had targeted a lot of tight ends, and those tight ends have been playing well. I can't recall, except maybe Jason Witten, but Dennis Peters has been playing well. Kyle Rudolph has been playing lights out. I hope a lot of you picked him up because I've picked him up in quite a few leagues, and he's been performing well. Quite naturally, you picked up the ones that were big time studs last week. That's a no brainer. But I'm not in the business of giving you no brainers. I'm also, when I run down these teams, there are a few players. If you have a nice space on your bench, stick them on your bench because I'm going to be giving you a few players that may not be on the radar, but it's a strong possibility due to the circumstances that they are in that they may be on the radar will be able to perform pretty well if given the opportunity. So I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I'm telling you to write these names down, stick them in the back of your mind or stick them somewhere on a post-it somewhere on your monitor or something, just on a reminder that, you know, I should check this guy out. I don't know who he's talking about, but I should check this guy out because I've pulled guys out before that were nondescript guys that are performing well, that are well-known guys now. To name a few, now I'm really not tooting my own horn, but this is the only way I know how to get you to understand that I pull players out before that people haven't heard of before. I pulled years back, Larry Johnson's on Kansas City. I know people who've heard me before have listened to this, but other people that may not have been listening before are listening now. I've pulled guys out that no one really heard of or thought too much of at the time, but I've informed my friends who I played fantasy football with, who laugh at me at the time until it was proven that I was right. I've told a lot of people that I know that play fantasy football, including listeners on different shows that I'm on, about these players over the years, and I'm touting my own home because I have to, because I'm trying to get you to understand that I give you these players not to make me feel good, not to benefit me or just to hear my voice. I give these players so it benefits you and your fantasy football teams. So I'm not just throwing these players out there just to throw them out there and bat. So when I throw these players out there, stash them on your bench, take a look. You never know if the opportunity may arise, but it may. I'm just telling you, it may. And some of these are strong possibility that it could happen. So anyway, like I said before last week, when I played hold on to those players that you were getting discouraged with because they hadn't been performing in the first 2 weeks, last week I said they had some great matchups: Jamaal Charles, Larry Fitzgerald, Darren McFadden, Andre Johnson. Unfortunately, I did mention CJ2K, Chris Johnson, and he still didn't perform. But I'm saying to myself,
I want it.
I'm thanking myself. You know, I just like everyone else, I play fantasy football because I love it. And I was questioning the players that I had touted you, the players that I had promoted on various shows, that they were going to be good players to pick up, target these players in the first few rounds of your draft. And quite naturally, they hadn't been performing to that level of drafting. Well, last week I told you that they hold on, they're coming, and more than likely they were coming this week, but just hold on to them. Well, Jamaal Charles, 33 carries, 233 yards on the ground, and then he catches 6 balls for 55 yards. And in PPR, you reap that extra 6 points in receptions if it's a 1-point PPR. So he had a monster day. So much for that ACL. So much for the detractors that tell me they didn't think that he was going to be able to play that well because he just came back from an ACL. Well, I tried to tell you that he was the earliest running back that got hurt, and he had more time than any other running backs to get better from an ACL, and he's not carrying that much weight, so he doesn't have a big strain or a lot of stress, even though he's a running back, as much as a heavier back on that ACL, on that knee. And he was ready to go. And New Orleans was a prime candidate to reap the rewards if you didn't get discouraged and kept him in your lineup. Like I said, he had a monster day, and I reaped the rewards. I hope you did, too. Then we had Larry Fitz. The week before, he had one catch for 4 yards, and people were definitely questioning if Larry Fitz and that quarterback problem in Arizona was going to benefit them, or if it was just a a lost season for Larry Fitz because of Kevin Cobb and John Skelton. Well, Kevin Cobb's been playing well. The 3-0 Arizona Cardinals, especially their defense, have been playing well. One of the surprises of the NFL, and it's no surprise, Larry Fitz did it last year. He'll continue to do it with, regardless of what quarterback is in, as long as they give him targets, which equals opportunities. Larry Fitz rewarded you last week with nine receptions, 114 yards, and one touchdown. That's a good day for Larry Fitzgerald, especially if you reap the rewards of a one-point PPR. You got 26 points if you touch down for 6 points. 9 points for the nine receptions, 114 yards equals 11 points if it's 1 point for every 10 yards. And the touchdown, if it's a six-point touchdown, that's 26 points. I'm sure you were happy about that. Then we have Run DMC. People were questioning what the Oakland Raiders, especially the way they performed against Miami, what was going to happen to Run DMC, if he was just going to be a bust. Because a lot of people, and me included, drafted him in the first round, which rightfully so, he should have been. Well, he rewarded you with 18 carries, 113 yards, and one touchdown. Not a monster day, but it's a very good day for a running back. He rewarded you with about 17, 18 points. So that's a good day for Darren McFadden compared to what he was performing with. And he had two receptions, even though they were only for 2 yards. Those two receptions are two extra points. Could be the 2 points, or even one of those receptions could have been the difference between a win and a loss. So every point counts in fantasy football, even if it's a kicker. And then we have Andre Johnson, which I have mentioned. One friend of mine saying that Andre Johnson was making a sarcastic remark that he wasn't a receiver, he was a fullback, because he'd always been blocking for Arian Foster or Ben Tate. Well, he changed that, even though it was a couple catches, it was for two catches, which is good as a PPR, for 72 yards, which he had a long touchdown, and one touchdown. So if you add the 1 point PPR, which is he had two catches, that's 2 points, plus his 72 yards, which is 7 points, one for every 10 yards, that's nine. And then you give him his touchdown, which is a six, that's 15 points. That's better than what he's been doing. So he got 15 points from Andre Johnson. The only other problem that you had was Chris Johnson, who's got a total of 40-something yards rushing on the ground, which is absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. And he goes today against one of the stingiest run defenses in the National Football League. It happens to be my team, the Houston Texans, which happens to be 3-0. But in my opinion, we'll go through that game, just like we'll go through all the other games and any other players that I see in fantasy football that we'll mention. And we'll run down what I believe will be happening with him this week. So without further ado, you got 45 minutes left in the program. Call in if you like. You got a question if you like. I'll answer it. Stardom sit-ems. I'll answer any stardom sit-ems. But I'm going through every team, every game, I should say, every game that we have on tap in the schedule on Sunday night, and including Monday night, giving it all, and hopefully it will help you to put in the right player. Hopefully it'll give you a win. This week, we're going to start this off with the the Carolina Panthers versus the Atlanta Falcons. Cam Newton hasn't been playing that well lately. He's going up against a pretty stiff pass defense, especially Atlanta playing Atlanta. They have some pretty good corners. And I don't know if it's Cam Newton's had the sophomore jinx. He was pretty down and out last week, and he got called out by his wide receiver, Steve Smith. Got in his ear because he was pouting on the bench about not playing well. Hopefully he rebounds against their division rival, which is the Atlanta Falcons. You got to play Cam Newton. He's an every week play. I think he's going to get about 255 to 300 yards, probably at least one touchdown. Unfortunately, he'll probably throw a pick. I know the statistic out there is that Cam Newton, if he has at least one turnover, his Carolina Panthers are 1-12. If he has no turnovers, they're 6-0. Quite naturally, the offense evolves around Cam Newton because he's a high profile quarterback, and he can't afford to turn the ball over. Let me put it that way. Quite naturally, everyone says that about each one of their quarterbacks, but it holds true. Carolina Panthers is not a real strong defense, so they have to be able to hold on to the ball to be able to have a chance in the game. So Cam Newton, I think, is going to have a decent day. He may not have a big-time day against a division rival like the Atlanta Falcons. D'Angelo Williams, Atlanta has a halfway decent run defense also, so I don't expect a big game from D'Angelo Williams, and if Jonathan Stewart plays, I don't expect a big one from him. Greg Olsen, besides Steve Smith, let me see, Greg Olsen will probably get about 6 catches, 66 yards. I would put Greg Olsen there. I would start him absolutely against the Atlanta Falcons defense. I think one of the weaknesses against them is their defense, and it happens to be that Cam likes throwing to his tight ends. The offense that is run in Carolina is beneficial for the tight end. So Greg Olsen is definitely a start for me if you have him. Like I said, he's going about 6 catches, 66 yards. He may get into the end zone. It's up in the air. Who's going to get the one touchdown, at least one touchdown that the Cam Newton is going to throw? I don't think it's going to be a rushing touchdown. I think definitely it's going to be in the air. So Steve Smith, 4 to 5 catches, about 70 yards, somewhere around there, and it's a possibility he'll get in the end zone. It's a benefit if he does. Brandon LaFell, he'll probably get the same amount of catches as Steve Smith, but Steve Smith is a longer threat versus Brandon LaFell, so even though he may get the same amount of receptions, his yardage may be shorter. So I'm saying he's going to get between 55, 60 yards, and that's what I see about that. On the other end, we're running a no-huddle offense in Atlanta. So that means all these wide receivers, whoever is on the receptive end of Matt Ryan's passes, are going to get a lot of targets. Targets equal opportunities. I'm pretty sure you guys heard that one before. So Matt Ryan is going to get probably between 270 to 300 yards in this game. He's probably going to pass for at least a couple touchdowns. Well, like I said, he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. There is a possibility that he can throw an interception, but he's been taking pretty good care of the ball. So I wouldn't count on that. Michael Turner. You say Turner the burner. I don't consider him a burner. He'll probably get 70 yards. I doubt if he gets in the end zone. Like I said, if it's in the end zone, I think it's a reception. I don't think it's going to be running unless it's like at the 1-2 yard line, and then they pound a Michael Turner on a short ass touchdown run. I don't think he's capable of making anything big time plays. He just doesn't have the speed like he used to. I think this other player I'm naming, Jacquez Rogers, is going to be more and more involved in the offense, especially the passing offense. He's got probably get about 30 or 40 yards. He'll probably get the receiving touchdown. If it's thrown to him, he'll have a strong possibility of doing that. Quite naturally, the most targets that have been going to the in the passing game has been with not Roddy White, not Julio Jones, but Tony Gonzalez. That's a heck of a trio I just named to you. But Tony Gonzalez has been getting the most targets, and he's got the most touchdowns out of the three I named to you. He's got three touchdowns. Roddy White's got one. Julio's got two. So there's a strong possibility that Tony Gonzalez, especially when he gets down to the red zone, that he may be targeted for the touchdown, one of the touchdowns. And then it's a toss-up. You flip a coin. You don't know what receiver is going to get the touchdown. One of them is going to get the other touchdown. You don't know what receiver is going to get the touchdown, but they're going to get targets. That no huddle gives you a lot of opportunities, targets and opportunities for your receivers. So Roddy White, I'm thinking, is going to get about six receptions, about 80-something yards, and there's a possibility he gets a touchdown. And then Julio Jones, he'll probably get about the same amount of receptions because he likes to even it out. He likes to spread the ball around, probably about 80 yards or something like that. Julio's the big long threat of the two. And there's a possibility on a long threat he can get the touchdown also. So there we have with Atlanta and the the Panthers versus the Falcons. Next we go to the New England Patriots versus the Buffalo Bills. They split last year. New England, if you don't recall. When they were running on, when they had that big time offense, and Tom Brady was on a roll, he was he turned around and ran up the score on the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if that created more of a rivalry or not, but New England loves to run the score up on the Buffalo Bills. All I can tell you is that they love to run the score up on the Buffalo Bills, and New England is 1-2. First time, I think, from what I understand, since 2004 or something like that, that New England is not on the positive side or just 500. They're on the negative side of a win record, win-loss record. So I'm saying to you this, that New England is mad as hell. And I tell you what, this is what they're doing.
Now, go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore."
And they're not going to take this. I can guarantee you not. They're not going to take it. They're going to take it out on Buffalo. Buffalo's got a much better pass rush. They're going to get to put up a stiff fight early, but I do believe in this game. New England's going to prevail. And I'm not giving you wins and losses. I'm not going to do that, but I'm telling you that New England's going to come out guns blazing to get this win. Tom Brady's going to probably throw for over 300 yards. He's definitely, in my opinion, going to throw for a couple touchdowns. Stephen Ridley's going to run against that really bad rush defense. He's going to get about 60, 70 yards, if not more. I do believe that is a possibility, a strong, extremely strong possibility he gets into the end zone. Ron Gronkowski is probably going to about 5 or 6 catches, 55 yards or so, at least one touchdown, and one of the better targets for this Josh McDaniels offense is Brandon Lloyd. That combination of Josh McDaniels, Brandon Lloyd, and Tom Brady has been clicking. I think he's been a big target for Tom Brady. 7 catches, 80 to 90 yards, and I see him a long touchdown getting into the end zone. Wes Welker happens to be in favor now, so he's going to be getting some catches, about 6 to 7 catches, probably about 80 yards. And on the other side, Ryan Fitzpatrick, since this is, I think, is going to be somewhat of a shootout, quite naturally, most of the time in New England, because they put up the score. The other team's got to try to catch up, so they're going to be throwing the ball. Also, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be throwing the ball 245, 255, 265, 270 yards, somewhere around there he's going to be throwing the ball. That's the bottom line. He should get at least one touchdown, maybe two, in his defense. New England's defense is a little stiffer against the pass than it has been, so I see that going on. I don't think Fred Jackson or C.J. Spiller, more Fred Jackson than C.J. Spiller. I think C.J. Spiller still needs a week or two to get back. Fred Jackson, from what I understand, is supposed to be playing. I don't know how well he's going to play. This is a mixed bag, in my opinion. You got three backs that they're talking about playing. Tashard Choice, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller. In my opinion, of those three, C.J. Spiller's on the odd man out. I think it's going to be split between Fred Jackson and Tashard Choice. Reports are saying that Fred Jackson is going to start. You know, start him at your own risk. Let me put it that way. Start him at your own risk. I really, in my opinion, would stay away from this. Hopefully you have another alternative. Fred Jackson's been out. Hopefully you have another alternative. This may come back to bite me, and you may not like what me saying this. I wouldn't play Fred Jackson, okay? You're taking too much of a chance. Guy's coming back from a knee injury or knee sprain or whatever. He's only been out a week or two. I would not play Fred Jackson, for the simple fact is, you don't know how long he's going to play. He's just coming back. He, for the most part, the injury was not supposed to be a couple-week injury. So he's coming back quicker, not maybe because of C.J. Spiller. Who the heck knows? You're taking a chance on putting Fred Jackson in if you have an alternative, a better alternative, or an alternative altogether that you have somebody that you can put in. And then Fred Jackson plays maybe a quarter, maybe a half a quarter, maybe a half, and then doesn't come back in the second half. So, or play sparingly throughout the game. Go another route, in my opinion. Go another route. Let's move on to Vikings versus the Lions. Very interesting game. Extremely interesting game. You know that from last week, which pretty much shocked the world, shocked a lot of people, probably didn't shock the Minnesota Vikings fans because they went berserk. Christian Ponder has been on fire of late. You know that. You've seen that. If you watch the games, if you have whatever type of plan to watch, be able to watch all these football games, excuse me, you saw that what the Minnesota Vikings literally took apart the San Francisco 49ers. In Minnesota, he can certainly be viewed as a low-end quarterback. One against the bad Lions pass defense. Their pass defense. The Lions do not have a good pass defense. So you can throw against the Detroit Lions. You know Percy Harvin is a must start. You know Kyle Rudolph is a must start. He's been a touchdown machine. Okay. Kyle Rudolph has been a touchdown machine, and I told you before, beginning of season, first game, second game, third game, I'm telling you again, at the fourth game of the season, Minnesota, Kyle Rudolph is second most targeted player in the passing game, and he's a tight end. Christian Ponder, this is his second year in the league. I told you over and over again, the best friend of a young quarterback is the tight end. This is the years of the tight end. More and more of these tight ends are getting involved in a passing game, and Kyle Rudolph is a perfect example of that. He scored two touchdowns last week against one of the tougher defenses in the league in San Francisco. Trust me, he's going to be throwing to Kyle Rudolph. Absolutely. Percy Harvin is a must-start. Kyle Rudolph is a must-start. And I'm telling you this, this guy had a very good rapport with Christian Ponder in the preseason, in the preseason games, before he had to serve his three-game suspension. I'm talking about Jerome Simpson, Yes, the same one that was on the Cincinnati Bengals that did the flip into the end zone over a player. Yes, the same one that was caught with all that pot. And that's one of the reasons why he had to serve the suspension. He had a very good rapport before he had to serve his suspension in the preseason. He's back now. This is a long threat for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is a high risk, high reward, in my opinion. I have Jerome Simpson on several of my teams. Some of my teams are weak at the wide receiver position. So what I'm going to do, since they're weak, I have nothing to lose. So I'll put Jerome Simpson there. If he's still on the waiver wire, take him off the waiver wire. Put him into your lineup if you're weak in the wide receiver role, because I can guarantee you he's going to be stretching the field, and Christian Ponder is going to try to get him the ball against that weak-ass pass defense that Detroit has. Do that, and you may reap the rewards of the risk that you take, the risk that you took. I'm doing that because the fact is I have nothing to lose. I have weak wide receivers. So why not take the chance and put this guy in there? He may give me more points than my receivers have in the past 3 weeks. That's all I'm saying. I like Jerome Simpson. I think he can get 3 to 5 catches, maybe about 50 yards. He get you 10 points. That's a decent wide receiver too. That's decent. That's not too bad, especially if it's a PPR. Okay. So. That's how I see it. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, quite naturally, it's a no-brainer you're going to play Adrian Peterson. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I may not mention him, but it's a no-brainer you're going to play him. On the other side of the ball, still up in the air whether Matthew Stafford's going to play or his substitute, Sean Hill. For those of you over the last week that may have had a roster spot and were able to pick up another quarterback, Sean Hill's a good quarterback to pick up. So you may have picked him up already. So quite naturally, you're going to play Calvin Johnson. That's a no-brainer. No-brainer. Mikel LeSueur, he came up on the scene now. This guy supposedly wasn't going to get that much work. First, got injured in the preseason last year. And this was – he had to serve a two-game suspension. This year, because of his drug use, and then they said he was going to start. Now, that should have sent you a red flag up there, not a red flag, but a green flag up there, or a huge flag up there, saying he was going to start. This guy's never played a down in a real NFL game. So in essence, this is his rookie year. They were going to start him. Quite naturally, a lot of people who had Kevin Smith thought, well, they're going to start him, but Kevin Smith is going to get some touches. They're probably going to even it out because this is this guy's first game. Well, he got 20-something touches, 100 yards, and a touchdown in his first NFL start. Kevin Smith didn't even sniff the field. That's how much they thought of this guy, okay? This guy, if he stays healthy, this may be the big back that they need in Detroit. Play him. It's pretty tough defense in Minnesota. I mean, the Minnesota defense, but play this guy. He's going to get about 60, 70 yards. It's a strong possibility because the way they move the ball, that Detroit will be down at the goal line and be able to do will be able to score with short yardage. So, Mikel LeSueur can also catch the ball. So, he's a threat back, and those are type of backs I like a lot. I tried to get this guy, but because of where I was on the waiver wires in my different leagues, I wasn't able to get this guy. I only got him in one league, and the only reason I got him is because I drafted him and put him on because I had a big bench, and I put him on my bench because I knew he was coming back in the third game. And I played him, and it benefited me that I happened to beat a friend of mine that thought he was going to beat me, and Mikel LeSure helped me to that win. Anyway, Brandon Pettigrew was another target that Sam Bradford and Sean Hill, if he plays, likes throwing to. I would play Brandon Pettigrew. He's going to get about 5 catches, about 50 yards. And he is definitely a red zone threat. Titus Young, Nate Burleson, flip a coin. I mean, these guys are you never know who's going to get the most targets and opportunities. And Titus Young happened to get a fluke Hail Mary pass that which padded his stats and fantasy stats last week. So you can't count on that. So who could be the star of those two? Your guess is just as good as mine. They're just wide receiver 4s, 5s. If you have that type of roster, you can throw them in there, hope to get a 4 or 5, maybe 8 points out of it. That's about it. Let's move on to the Chargers and the Chiefs. We got 23 minutes left in the show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. You're listening to The Master Plan, and I'm the host of that, which happens to be the JT, and a.k.a. The Master. And we're running down the game, start, sits, and I'll be coming up into some other games here that some sneaky players that are going to be could be benefit you sometime this fantasy season. All right, let's go to the Chargers and Chiefs, which happens to bring me to one of these players I'm thinking about. Okay, San Diego goes to Kansas City, which is always, always a tough place to play in Arrowhead Stadium. The crowd is crazy, and it's one of these arenas that you don't want to go in because it's such a tough place to pull out a win if you're the visiting team. Go on the San Diego side. Let's play Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is a definite play in here. He's going to throw about 250 yards. At least a touchdown, and they probably throw a pick. He hasn't played well in Kansas City, but he's, in my opinion, he's a low-end quarterback one, high-end quarterback two. If you're in a two quarterback league, you definitely put Phillip Rivers in here, but he does have a hard time playing in Arrowhead. Ryan Matthews is supposed to play in this game. If he plays in this game, we got to see how they deal with his shoulder issue. Coming back from a broken clavicle, so we have to see how he's going to be playing in this game. I tell you what, they are not too happy with Ryan Matthews. One, for durability issues. Two, for being able to hold on to the football. He fumbled again last week, and he's always had a fumbling problem ever since he's been in the league. So what I would say to you is this. I have a thought here, and hear me out. One of the backs that that has been playing in place of Ryan Matthews is Jackie Battle. Write this down or make a mental note of this. Jackie Battle is a bruiser and I wouldn't say a plotter, but he doesn't have the explosiveness of Ryan Matthews. But he has he'll hold on to the ball. He's not a fumbler. He's a reliable back. He's more reliable than Ronnie Brown, which quite naturally Jackie Battle is the direct backup to Ryan Matthews now. So if Ryan Matthews somehow falters, okay, which is a strong possibility because he's not that durable back with fumbling problems. They could bench Ryan Matthews and put in Jackie Battle to be the lead back, believe it or not. And if that's the case, if you have room on your bench on an offense like this that gives you the running back opportunities to run the ball, because North Turner likes to use a running back to run the ball, and also catch the ball out of the backfield, Jackie Battle is one that you can use, okay? That's one of the players that I'm giving you this week, Jackie Battles. Antonio Gates has not been the same person, but he's still in every week play because he's Antonio Gates. Until I say otherwise, I'm not saying the end, I'm an end all to be all, but he's Antonio Gates. I see him getting about 10 points, which is very low end for him. Very, very low end. But still Phillip Rivers likes to target Antonio Gates. But you need to start him until you hear otherwise from me. Let me put it that way, because I really believe that he's going to turn it around. The main wide receiver, now I'm not talking about Robert Meacham. I know they signed him to take the place of Vincent Jackson, but he hasn't in the first three games. He may later on in the season when he gets the better report for Phillip Rivers, but the main wide receiver now is Malcolm Floyd. I see him getting 5 to 6 catches in the vicinity of 70 yards and probably catching a touchdown. So he's definitely a start in my book. Wide receiver 2 in my book. On the other side, Matt Cassel. He's not going to have a good game this game. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are a running team. They have if I'm not mistaken, they have the number one offense in the league. But they run the ball. They run the ball. Last year, and including this year, I think they're the number one running team, close to the Houston Texans. But Kansas City, their main MO is to run the ball. And if they run the ball, Peyton Hillis hasn't been what people think thought he was going to be. They said he was going to get a 50-50 split. I knew better. I didn't like Peyton Hillis. I try to tell you people, Jamaal Charles was the man, plain and simple. Whether it's 15 to 20 carries or 15 to 18 or whatever mid-double digit he was getting, and then the other back, whether it was Peyton Hillis, whether it was Thomas Jones, whether it was last year Jackie Battle, Jamaal Charles was and still is the man, because 6.0 or over 6 yards a carry. Over 6 yards a carry, Jamaal Charles is averaging every time he touches the ball. That's on average. That's unheard of. The only Jim Brown has those numbers. Only Jim Brown has those numbers. And Jamaal Charles is keeping that up. Ever since he came on the scene, he's kept that up. It's not like he's done that 1 year. It's not like he's done it half a season. Every season, he's been in there, and he's healthy. And I got a discount last year because he was hurt. Over 6 yards a carry is averaging. With limited touches, 15 to 18 touches. He found confidence. He realized his knee was okay with a 90-something yard run in New Orleans, and he just ran over him, 233 yards. You think he's not confident about how his knee is now? That's all he needed. I think this will springboard him to what he was 2 seasons ago when he was in 2010. Now, 80 to 90 yards, I see him getting a touchdown. Quite naturally, he's involved in a receiving game too. So he's going to get about four catches, about 30 to 40 yards, somewhere around that. The only other one I can see in here is that Dwayne Bowe is questionable. I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. If he does, I see him getting about five catches and about 70 to 80 yards. And it's a 50-50 chance he gets into the end zone because they run the ball. They run the ball to set the pass up. It's not like a lot of some of these teams, they pass the ball to set the run up. So understand that. So it is what it is with there. Let's move on to the Seahawks versus the Rams. And I do have a call from the 919. Let's bring this caller in and see what they have to say. Caller from the 919, welcome to the Master Plan. You're talking to JT, a.k.a. the Master. State your name and tell me what you got to say.
You already know who it is, man. Don't pretend.
Well, no, I don't have. Call from the 919. I didn't recognize the number, but church time is over, or you get ready.
Oh, dude, shut up. Not yet. Anyway.
Okay. Okay. How you be?
I'm good. I'm just checking you out to see what's going on. Heard you talking about Jamal Charles. Marshall Faulk just predicted that he would go for another 200 yards. Today, and they also said that Matt Ryan might throw for 400 yards and three touchdowns. So I'm just putting that out there to you because, you know, I do have these two players going against you today.
That's okay. That's okay. It's fine. I hope those players do well for you.
Whatever.
But
I want to thank Anita Poole for listening to the program. I see Ms. Poole has been listening to the show. So.
How do you know that?
Because I'm on the front page.
Oh.
Recent listener. Come on, old timer. Come on. Continue.
Well, I don't look at those things, man. I'm so involved in doing all these shows, being a co-host or a host. That I don't have time for doing those things. I'm a creative force in here, man, so I don't have time for administrative stuff.
Let the executives do all that good stuff. I appreciate it.
Exactly.
No, which is me. But you were just talking about Atlanta, right?
Well, one of my first team I was talking about was Atlanta, but go ahead.
No. I don't want to distract you. Go ahead.
No, you're not distracting me. I know exactly where I'm at. Just tell me what you got to say.
Right now,
I'm talking about the Seahawks and the Rams. Jumped to that.
Yeah, the team that helped me beat you for $400. I just love that. they're talking about, and remember yesterday we talked about how Russell Wilson has had the reins on him and whatnot.
Sure.
A caller called in and mentioned that as well yesterday. And I think Pete Carroll is going to release a little bit more to Russell today. To me, it'll be a perfect time to do it because if you run the ball really hard, like the Seahawks do, teams will line up for it, and you're going to see about seven or eight people in the box of the game, and it's going to force Russell to throw the ball. Now, will Brandon Edwards return? He hasn't had a pass in the past 2 days. They haven't even thrown a pass his way in the past two games. Golden Tate isn't that great. Sidney Rice might emerge because Corlin Finnegan can only cover one. And I think he's going to go for Sidney Rice. But that's my say.
Well, I don't like Russell Wilson. Maybe in a two-quarterback league that you can play him as your second quarterback. Until he proves or the team proves that they're going to let this kid do more, not be just a really game manager. And when I'm saying game manager, that's exactly what it is because he's, for the most part, handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch and not doing too much after that. He's a quarterback, second quarterback in a two-quarterback roster. Anyway, Marshawn Lynch, like probably 90 yards, about more like a touchdown in this game. St. Louis defense is not that bad. So this is going to be, and we talked about this NFC West teams that their defense is a lot stronger than a lot of people think in the past. Well, you look at them: Seahawks, Arizona, San Francisco, and the afterthought is St. Louis. And St. Louis is coached by Jeff Fisher, who happens to be a defensive coach. So you know that defense is going to be flying around the ball. I don't like any of these wide receivers, because you're taking big chances on trying to get some points, squeeze an orange juice out of a lemon with these wide receivers. excuse me? What's that?
Which you can't do.
Which you can't do, exactly. Exactly. So that's the reason why, unless you're in desperation mode and you need to play a wide receiver, you hit on it. I think the one to play would be Sidney Rice. I don't think Braylon Edwards or Golden Tate, regardless of what Golden Tate did last week, that was a fluke. And everybody who saw that game knows it was a fluke. Sidney Rice is the one that I would put my money on if I had to go to one of these wide receivers. On the other side, Sam Bradford is coming up and coming. He's showing a lot of what the people had drafted for 2 years ago. But he needs to show more before people rely on him as a starting quarterback in fantasy. Steven Jackson against this tough Seattle defense, he may or may not play. I'm not sure about that. He's questionable. Maybe you'll get what you got last week, that he plays sporadically and didn't give you too much. In that case, Darrell Richardson, I wouldn't even think about playing him either, because it's too much of a risk. Alternative running back is where you need to go. Let me put it that way. Now, my other Vic, who's on here, told me that he would not play Danny Amendola. I would play Danny Amendola, especially if it's in a PPR, for the simple fact is Sam Bradford targets him all the time. He has a knack for getting open, just like Wes Welker does with New England. So with receptions, you get yardage. He may not be a yak guy, yard after catch, but he does catch the ball, and that yardage adds up with the amount of catches he has. So I would definitely put him in there as a wide receiver three. Unfortunately, he's one of my main wide receivers on my one of my teams, so I put him in there as a wide receiver too, and just hope for the best. Moving on to my old team versus a team from the left coast, where Mr. Vic happens to reside. Talking about the 49ers, who laid a bomb in Minnesota, didn't go all the way back to San Francisco, stayed in Ohio to practice there, so they didn't have that jet lag from West Coast to East Coast to face the Jets. Alex Smith is one of those second quarterbacks that I'm talking about that you play. Frank Gore, the New York Jets can be run on. I think Frank Gore is going to get about 80 yards and a touchdown. Vernon Davis, the New York Jets can be thrown on, especially with the tight end. One of the weaknesses is against the tight end, and Vernon Davis is a premier tight end. He's going to get about five to six catches, about 60 yards, and I see him being targeted in the end zone and catching one. The other target that they have is Michael Crabtree. He's good for PPR as a wide receiver, two or three. I see. That's the only way I see him. I don't think he's going to be catching a touchdown in this. And then the other two wide receivers, they pick up the scraps. I'm talking about Randy Moss and Mario Manningham. Mark Sanchez is garbage, hot garbage, turnover waiting to happen. Sean Green, they're getting disgruntled with Sean Green, and this is one of my pickups here. This is one of my pickups. Now, everybody's been rushing to the waiver wire. Everyone's been rushing to the waiver wire. Now, understand, Vic, I want you to make a mental note. I want you to write this thing down, because this, Trust me when I'm telling you this. Trust me when I'm telling you this. I can pick running backs out. Trust me when I'm telling you this.
This is true.
This guy is a jewel waiting to happen. And the reason I'm saying this, I'll give you my No. Everybody's been rushing to the waiver wire to pick up Bilal Powell, thinking he's going to be the answer to the New York Jets. He's a tick above the ability of Sean Green. He's a tick above the ability of Sean Green. They're going to give him an opportunity to see what he can do. I'm not saying this is going to happen right away, but they didn't pick this guy up off the Houston Texans practice squad for no reason. The Houston Texans loved this guy when he was in preseason. They couldn't hold on to him because the fact is it was a numbers game. So the New York Jets swooped in the past week and picked this guy up off the Houston Texans waiver wire. Write this name down. Listen to me carefully. The guy's name is Jonathan Grimes. Okay? Jonathan Grimes, I see, it will get an opportunity sometime before the season's over to be the lead back in the New York Jets running game. Okay?
Right.
Now,
where is he from?
Where is he from? You got to look him up where he's from. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure where he's from. I can tell you in a minute. Let me just.
No, continue because you only got like 4 minutes left alive.
You're right. I got 4 minutes left in the live. I'm going to be going over anyway, so that doesn't make a difference to me. I always go over. I should make it an hour and a half because of all the information I get out here. But that's okay. Jonathan Grimes is – tell you where he's from. Oh, he's from the College of William & Mary, 5'10", 201. Okay? He's a 22-year-old guy. Excuse me?
Small guy.
That's fine. What I'm saying is this: that he was in the Houston Texans organization. They liked him a lot. It wasn't like they weren't interested. They impressed the coaching staff with his downhill style early in training camp. He was I'll give you his stats: a 4-time All-Conference pick in the Colonial Athletics Association. I would pick up Jonathan Grimes if you have a deep roster, and you can take a flyer on this guy. Trust me when I'm saying, this guy, they didn't pick him up for no reason. They picked him up this week. They picked him up this week. Let me put it that way. So understand that what I'm saying. Watch out for this guy. If something happens to Bilal Powell or Sean Green, or these guys aren't performing worth hot garbage, this guy could get a chance. And I really like what this guy is about. I think he can do something here. So that's one of my little gems for today.
You said the same thing about Mr. McKnight, and they put him on the defense. So
you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'm telling you. Let's move on to the Titans versus the Texans. We got about a minute and a half left, so people were going to be going overtime. You can hang in there and listen to the rest of this. I got a few more teams to go through. The master plan, like usual, is going to be 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time next week. Same thing, starts and sits. Also on Thursday will be the FSP Cruise Show. I host that along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday is the No Chaser with Mac Williams as a host and me as the co-host. And then FSP, you're talking to him. He's on the line with me right now. Vic Gardner is the host. I am the co-host of that show. We talk about a lot of things. Fantasy sports and politics, that's all what it's all about. But right now we're talking about
Obama, 2012, Obama.
Excuse me?
I said Obama 2012.
Yeah, we're talking about Obama 2012. There we go. Okay? Anyway, Where am I? See, he made me lose my train of thought here. That's all right, though. So that's how it is. We're going to be going into overtime very shortly, so I hope you hang on to for the rest of our start sits. I know these other shows are coming on shortly, and you may want to tune to them, but this is where you get the best information, I do believe. So hang in there, and now we're in overtime. Now we're talking about the Titans versus the Houston Texans. My 3-0, undefeated, rated number one from the NFL Network as the best team in the NFL, Houston Texans. It's going to be a rough week for all the Titans here. Jake Locker is probably up against the best pass defense in football. I don't think these wide receivers are going to do much, and I just got a report from Adam Schefter says that Kenny Britt will not play due to an ankle injury. So you may want to verify that in the next hour or so, but it looks like Kenny Britt's not going to be playing. So the emphasis on the passing game is going to be on Nate Washington and Kendall Wright. So you can count, though, and Jared Cook for that matter. Jake Locker is going to be throwing the ball. I don't know how well he's going to do, but he's going to be throwing the ball a lot because the Houston Texans have a very stout rush defense. So those CJ2K owners, I know he's only got 45 total rushing yards. I think he probably can get that amount. I don't think he's going to break out this week. I predict he breaks out next week. I don't think he's going to break out this week. So he may be more involved in a short passing game, but I kind of doubt if he's going to do too much in the run game, unfortunately for you CJ2K owners. For that matter, the only way I think they're going to be able to move the ball through the air, and I think Jake Locker is going to get about 250 yards, maybe one touchdown pass. He's probably going to be targeting Jared Cook and Nate Washington. In my opinion, they're really not solid plays in here. On the other side, Matt Schaub is a definite good play. Titans don't have a good pass defense. And the run defense is pretty piss poor, too. So Arian Foster and Ben Tate, because Ben Tate have had good games against the Titans, believe it or not, even when Arian Foster is healthy. So both these guys, Ben Tate can be used as a flex. Arian Foster, quite naturally, is an RB1 in here. Only Owen Daniels has been targeted quite a bit to take up the spot of the second wide receiver. Kevin Walters is not used as much as a wide receiver, the second wide receiver should. Owen Daniels has taken that spot. So Owen Daniels, about 5 catches, 50 yards. He may get into the end zone. I think Andre Johnson definitely gets into the end zone, gets about 60, 70 yards, about 4 to 5 catches. You care to comment on any of this, Mr. Gardner?
Of course, I like the fact that you jumped on the bandwagon of the Houston Texans at the most opportune time and got off that jet plane. But I think that you're absolutely right about what's going to happen in this game. Unfortunately, for the Titans, I don't see J2K doing much more than his 1.1 rushing yards per average. As a matter of fact, I don't think CJ2K is going to get over 1,000 yards this year. He might not get over 800. Just my thoughts on it. And, playing the Texans twice will not help his cause. This game is going to be tough without Kenny Britt. Kendall Wright needs to step up. He's been targeted a lot. He hasn't caught that many, but he's been targeted a lot. Nate Washington is not that threat that teams are scared of, but yeah, you plan because who else is he going to throw to? He's going to throw to Cook and Washington. But that's about it. He's going to be running around for his life. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Let's move on to another 3-0 team playing at home. Be the visiting team, be Miami Dolphins, going to the Arizona Cardinals. Good luck Ryan Tannehill against this ferocious Arizona defense. They're going to be coming at you from all directions. I hope you can sustain your health when this pass rush comes at you. Darnell Dockett and company.
Dockett's out.
Excuse me?
Dockett is out.
Dockett, okay. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
Or Goliath Clay is going to be in there, the DN, who's a beast.
Yeah, well, it won't make a difference because Ryan Tannehill is going to be running for his life, and you don't start Ryan Tannehill unless you absolutely, in a three, I think we're in a three-quarterback league or whatever, and you're at a wit's end for quarterbacks because they generate the most points for the most part, unless they're absolutely horrible. And given any given Sunday, Ryan Tannehill can be that horrible, and he may be that horrible in this Sunday. You don't start Ryan Tannehill. Reggie Bush, good luck. I don't see him getting into the end zone. I'd be surprised if he gets 70, 80 yards in this game. If he doesn't start because he's questionable, Daniel Thomas, that those numbers equate to him or split between him and Lamar Miller. Bryant Hartline is a very low-end wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 because really don't have too much to throw to. Hartline and Best, and Hartline's been the favorite target. On the other side, Kevin Kolb. Believe it or not, Miami has a stiff run defense. So, in my opinion, this would probably be a low-scoring game because both these quarterbacks aren't the premier quarterbacks and aren't the best, and they're going against two defenses that are not absolutely horrible, but they're good defenses. Arizona's better of the two in defense. So Kevin Kolb is not going to be doing that well. He may get a touchdown pass in this. He may throw for close to 225, 230 yards. Ryan Williams is going to be trying to run against that Miami defense, which happens to be pretty good against the run. The only play here for me is Larry Fitzgerald. He showed out last week. I think he'll do the same thing this week. 6-7 catches, 80 to 90 yards, excuse me, and a strong possibility of a touchdown. Vic?
I agree. Ryan Williams is going to run really hard. I think Larry Fitz is going to have a field day today, along with Cecil Short. I don't know what's up with Malcolm Floyd. Yeah, Cecil Short or Cecil Wood.
Cecil Shorts is on Jacksonville, man.
Oh, my fault. Whatever the other kid's name is. I don't know the kid's name. I know he's like leading them in touchdown.
Andre Roberts?
There you go. He's leading them in touchdown receptions. I know that. But I'm kind of wondering where is Michael Floyd at, you know, the kid out of Notre Dame who's supposed to be the number two guy. He hasn't been seen. Except for maybe one catch in preseason for a touchdown. This would be the game that he should break out in because the secondary of Miami, it's okay, but it's not that good. But I actually think that Miami's going to win this game. And I said this yesterday, and I think it's going to be off of 3 or 4 Kevin Kolb interceptions. I think he doesn't protect
really?
The ball well. Yes. I don't think he protects the ball well. I think Miami's defense is hungry for a win because they should have won last Sunday against the Jets. But the dumb coach calls a timeout when they block a kick. But, hey, I mean, it's not dumb. It's a strategy. I get it. But I really think Miami wins this game, and I think it's going to be a defensive battle no matter what. And I think the running backs in these games are going to be featured. Folks, Larry Fitz and Floyd, I don't know if Floyd, but Larry Fitz should have a good game. That's what I got.
Yeah, but the only problem I have is this, that both these two teams have, this is a perfect storm in my opinion, for the simple reason that both these quarterbacks on any world beaters for one. All right, and they're going to go up against two, like I said, two defenses, one a little better than the other, Arizona being the better of the two. And they're going to have to they're going to try to run the ball because of the ability of the freaking quarterback. And they won't be able to run the ball, so they're going to have to pass the ball. So I don't see I know there's going to be a low-scoring game. Yeah, you're right about that. But we'll see what happens. I can't see how you could be picking Miami. Miami is not that good. They're really not that good. At least the Arizona Cardinals have some decent options. Miami doesn't, and that's the problem. They don't have any decent options. Huh?
I'm telling you, it's going to be better than what you think. I just think Miami. The game's in Miami, correct?
No, it's in Arizona.
Oh, it's in Arizona? Okay.
Yes.
Still, I think the loss of Donnell Dockett is going to be somewhat big because he gives a push right up the middle. And Calais comes off the end from that push. I'm not saying that Dockett's replacement isn't that good, but without him, with that push straight up the middle, I think you're going to have a little bit more time, and I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little better. And I think the defense is going to capitalize on Cobb's mistakes. Cobb is too confident right now. He's a little cocky. He's going to come in this game, and he's going to throw several interceptions. Maybe one or two of them go back for a touchdown, but I think he's going to throw multiple interceptions.
Okay. All right, let's move on. We'll move on to Cincinnati Bengals at Jacksonville Jaguars. This is an excellent matchup for MJD. But, you know, I shouldn't have to say that. You'd be starting this guy anyway. But in my opinion, any other Jacksonville player, and the reason I'm saying this is because this is quick for me, any other Jacksonville player is not worth even mentioning or starting other than MJD. Not the quarterback, not the tight end, and not the wide receivers. That's how inept this offense is. The only fantasy value is MJD. On the other end, Andy Dalton is worth starting in this. I understand Jacksonville is playing home, and for the most part, they do play better. I should say for the most part. They play like world beaters at home. I've said this in several shows, and it holds true. Every year it holds true. Doesn't make a difference. Cast of characters that played or the players that go in and out of the starting lineups on both sides of the ball in Jacksonville. It plays out. It's a historical fact and a statistical fact. Jacksonville and Seattle, they play like they're the 85 Bears when they're home, okay? And they play like the Detroit Lions of 2010 when they're not, or 2009, whenever they were 0-16. That's how bad they are, okay, on the road. They don't play that well on the road. So Jacksonville's playing at home. They're going to play well at home. They're going to play inspired football at home against the Cincinnati Bengals that are going into that whirlwind. But I think Andy Dalton will be able to throw for about 250 yards, maybe for a couple touchdowns, even though Jacksonville's pass defense is pretty good. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis may have a hard way to go, but I think he can get about 85 yards out of this. I don't know about a touchdown. Jermaine Gresham is one of the targets that Andy Dalton likes to throw to. He'd get about four catches, maybe about 40, 45 yards, somewhere around there. A.J. Green is going to be the main target. I see him getting about 100 yards, maybe hitting close to a touchdown, or if not a touchdown. And it's another guy on here that's been coming up, the other guy on the other side of the ball that's been getting targeted a bit more, and been take taken I shouldn't say taken advantage of his of his opportunities, and that's Andrew Hawkins.
Yeah.
So Andrew Hawkins makes an interesting wide receiver three, in my opinion. I think you can put him in here and high risk, high reward. Let me put it that way. And this may be beneficial because they may be trying to do a lot to stop A.J. Green, and Andrew Hawkins benefits from that. Mr. Vic.
I don't have much to say on this. I think that you're pretty right on it. Although I do like the defense of Jacksonville in this game, because I think that when they do try to run Ben Jarvis Green, they're going to bang him up quite a bit. Jacksonville's defense isn't bad. They're pretty good at home, as you said. Cincinnati is a good team. They're going to go in there thinking they're going to walk all over them. And MJD is going to keep them in the game. So the problem is Jacksonville has the wrong quarterback. They just have the wrong quarterback. Blaine Gabbert, he's not what people thought he was. So, you know, that's the whole enchilada right there. That's
Yep, you're right about that. All right, let's move on to Oakland versus Denver, in Denver. What part of shootout do you want to talk about here? You want to talk about the Broncos side? You want to talk about the Raiders side? Let's talk about the Broncos side first, since that's in front of me. Raiders side first, since that's in front of me. Carson Palmer is a quarterback, too. He's going to be throwing the ball in this game, I do believe, 250 yards, and he's probably going to throw for a couple touchdowns. And he's always good for one pick. That's just Carson Palmer. I think Darren from McFadden can run on these boys. I see him going for about 90 yards and probably a rushing touchdown. I know Carson likes to throw to his tight end, Brandon Myers, who's a little banged up, but I think he's still going to play in this game. About five catches, about 50-something yards. His favorite target, and in this one, because Darius Haywood-Bey is not going to be playing, probably besides Streeter, I think he's going to be throwing a lot to Denarius Moore, who got the most targets last week, and probably doing the same this week, even though Champ Bailey and company are probably going to key on Denarius Moore. 4 or 5 catches, 60-something yards. I think he'll get into the end zone. But the main focus on here will be Darren McFadden, and then they're going to be trying to stretch the field. On the other end, you know Peyton Manning, he's going to throw the ball. He's going to be throwing more, especially on this this bad Oakland pass defense. He's going to get about 300 yards here. He's going to get at least a couple touchdowns. Willis McGahee can probably run in these guys. He'd probably get about 90 yards. He may get a touchdown. Jacob Tamby's going to be involved, but not as much as Demaryius Moore and Eric Decker. Oakland is very bad against big wide receivers, and you got two big wide receivers on both sides of the ball, both sides of the line, which is Demaryius Moore and Eric Decker. I see both of these guys getting about 70, 80 yards, about 5 to 6 catches, and at least one of these guys is going to catch a touchdown, maybe both of them. Who the heck knows? But these guys are going to should have a pretty big day. Talk to me, Vic.
I think Willis is out, or he's very questionable.
Who?
So Willis McGahee.
Oh, is he? Okay. Okay.
I believe he's questionable because he came out of last week's game. He was pretty banged up. And
in the ribs, I know that.
I'm not sure if he was cleared to play this week. But if he does, I look for Knowshon Moreno and Hillman to split a little time with him because it's going to be tough going here. I think Oakland isn't as good as they're not going to perform as well as you think. As you said, Carson's good for one interception. Carson's doing pretty well fantasy-wise this year. A limited cast. Haywood-Bey is not going to play, so Denarius Moore and Streeter might be the wild card in this game. You know, how does he do against the quarter? On Denver's defensive side, how does he do against him? We'll see. But I think Peyton Manning takes his team and beats up on Oakland. They're in Denver, so look for Sebastian Janikowski to kick like a 70-yard field goal and make it. But I think Oakland, they're going to lose. They're going to lose again. With bruised shoulders, McFadden is a play. You have to play him. He's a top fantasy back. But with bruised shoulders, you might look for good or what's that kid? That
Goodson.
They got from,
Mike Goodson.
Yeah, Goodson. Yeah, Mike Goodson to get more carries. Goodson's on the return team, and he also supplanted your guy. As
Tywan Jones.
Yeah, he supplanted Tywan Jones as the backup to McFadden. So you might, if you have room or able to do it, you know, put Mike Goodson in there. He might steal a couple touchdowns or yards if something happens to McFadden. I think put him on your bench just in case. But I see Denver winning this game no problem. Easily.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then we move on to. Let me see now. This should be fantasy goodness in this game. I think you know who I'm talking about. The New Orleans Saints against the Green Bay Packers. Drew Brees against Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field. Or at Lambeau Field, I should say. Drew Brees, you definitely got to pay. That's a guaranteed 300 yards and at least one touchdown, maybe two. I see him probably throwing for two touchdowns in this game. Jimmy Graham is definitely playing here. Marcus Colston would be another play for me in here. And also Lance Moore. The running backs, even Darren Sproles, I'm not sure about. PPR, Darren Sproles is a definite play. As a RB2 or 3 in PPR. In standard, it's a different story. On the other end, if you have a Green Bay Packer that gets regular playing time, play him. The Saints basically don't play pass or rush defense. So if you have a Packer that gets regular playing time, you play him. I don't need to run down the Packers, but I'll do that. Quite naturally, you play Aaron Rodgers. You play Cedric Benson because he's going to run all over the Saints because they don't have a rush defense. You play JerMichael Finley. Now, one thing I can tell you, the Saints are play the tight end better than they play the wide receivers. So don't think JerMichael Finley is going to run wild against the Saints. The wide receivers are a different story. The wide receivers, Greg Jennings, if he plays, should get a touchdown and probably six catches and 70 yards. Jordy Nelson should be around the same thing. Four or five catches and about 60 to 70 yards and probably a touchdown. I don't know about the other two, meaning James Jones or Randall Cobb. You know what? I would play James Jones too, probably a wide receiver 3 or 4 if you go that deep in wide receivers, because whatever happened to the Green Bay Packers on Monday night, they'll forget about it once they reap the rewards of what they did to the Saints and go to 2-2 and the Saints go to 0-4. Go ahead, Rick.
As you said, fantasy goodness in this game. A lot of throwing, a lot of possible scoring. Well, the Saints are coming in like a dog corner. So get ready for that. They might just do flea flicker first play, flea flicker second play, end around third play. And just to slow down that pass rush of Green Bay. But I don't know. If Mike McCarthy runs Cedric Benson like he did in Seattle, or just runs him in general, there'll be an opportunity for them to win this game. But I think New Orleans is going to come out and just put up points and win this game. you mentioned play any Green Bay Packer. Yeah, but they got to catch the ball. Jordy Nelson's dropped a lot of passes in the first 3 to 4 games, a lot. And Aaron has been off just a little bit. We'll see what happens in this game. Hopefully, it's a great game to watch, but I don't know. But that's all I got, buddy.
All right. All right. Let's move on to your Washington Redskins going to visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't need to tell you. In this game against the dead last pass defense, you definitely start Robert Griffin III. That's an everyday. That's an, without saying. I shouldn't even have to mention that.
Well, I got a question for you again. I had this question last week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you start Drew Brees or Robert Griffin III if you have both? Because I have both.
You know what?
Robert Griffin, in my opinion.
I would start Robert Griffin III because the fact is you're getting rush points, and there's a possibility he may rush for a touchdown and throw for a touchdown or two. So you're getting a dual threat in the quarterback versus Drew Brees. I understand he throws 300-something yards on average every game, but I would go with Robert Griffin III. You probably would go with Drew Brees, but in my opinion, Drew Brees is on the road. He hasn't played quite that much better on the road than he does at home. So he plays lights out at home. He doesn't play that well on the road. His numbers drop on the road. So in that my opinion, that's how I would play. Robert Griffin III, he don't know any better. He's a rookie, so he's doing his thing regardless of if it's on the road. Or at home, so he hasn't developed a trend yet. Let me put it that way. I don't know how you feel, but you probably would go with Drew Brees. But me, I would go Robert Griffin III because I like this kid a lot.
You,
and he's learning every week, which is key. So they may not be able to run the ball that well because Tampa Bay's rush defense is the best in the NFL. So Alfred Morris may not have a good day. Trying to run the ball. They're pretty stout against the run. Dead last against the pass, though. So I think they're going to be moving the ball via the pass. That means if Pierre Garçon plays, I don't know if you know anything about that, but if Pierre Garçon plays, he's doubtful. Well, that means Leonard Hankerson and Adrian Anderson or whatever his name is, it's probably going to benefit from that, including Santana Moss. So, on the other side, Josh Freeman, he may have a good play here because I don't think the pass defense in Washington is all that great, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
No, they're not.
Okay. I'm not making a statement. I'm asking. Okay.
I know.
So he'll probably pass for a couple touchdowns. He's pretty much good for at least one interception. Doug Martin is probably going to be able to run for about over 100 yards in this game, unfortunately, and probably get into the end zone. Their wide receivers are very inconsistent, and that's including Vincent Jackson. He may get up to six catches in this and 80-something yards, and then he may catch only two passes for 40, so and not even sniff the end zone. That's how Vincent Jackson has been rolling. So I have a hard time trusting any of these wide receivers, but Josh Freeman has to throw to somebody. So Vincent Jackson, if you have him and you draft him as your number one wide receiver, I guess you would have to play him. I don't think he is a number one, even though he's number one in Tampa Bay. He's probably a wide receiver two, in my opinion, and then quite naturally Mike Williams is 3-4, in my opinion. What do you got about that, Vic? You got two more games left.
I concur, and you said two games left. Good, but I got to get ready to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, man. There's nothing different from what I would say. So, That's about it on that.
Okay. We got the Giants, the night game, the premier night game, NFC East rivals, New York Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. This may be another one of these shootouts. Both of these quarterbacks can light it up if they're on. Michael Vick of late has not been on, but he had a tendency to play well against the Giants at times, and he had a very bad game last week. I do believe that they're going to try to get him going or and make sure he plays a decent game. So Eli Manning should throw for close to 300 yards in this game, probably a couple touchdowns. He's also good for a pick because of the amount of passes he throws. It's a toss-up on who gets the touches or the carries between Amon Bradshaw, who's supposed to be coming back, and Andre Brown. I would stay away and to see how this pans out. I would stay away from these two guys because you don't know exactly who's going to be the hot running back and who's going to get the most touches in this game. And you may be playing Russian roulette with your win-loss for this week, putting one of these guys in. Martellus Bennett has become one of the Eli Manning's favorite targets. He's going to catch about four or five catches, and I would say that he's going to get into the end zone because he gets targeted in the red zone or green zone, like Coughlin likes to say. Hakeem Nicks is not playing. He's out. So Ramsey Barden is going to be playing again. 6'6", big target like Plexico Barris. He's going to be getting the ball. I don't know how much he's going to be getting the ball, but I would say he's going to catch about five or six passes, about 70 to 80 yards, and he's definitely going to be a red zone target with his height. In his wingspan. So he's definitely going to be a target, and he'll be targeted down in the red zone. And then quite naturally, you got Victor Cruz, who's the big play wide receiver. They do have some good DBs. They're going to try to curb the Giants, but I don't know how that's going to work out. Victor Cruz, 5-6 catches, about 70, 80 yards also. On the other end, Michael Vick, 250 yards, 260, somewhere around there. He's going to at least pass one touchdown pass. He's going to have at least one stupid play for an interception. Sean McCoy, he hasn't been really running that much. I think they're going to try to give him the ball more to establish the run to open things up and nullify that pass rush. So he's going to get about 75, 80 yards. He'll probably get into the end zone and along with some receptions, four to five catches, about 30, 40 yards. I think he's going to be doing that. Michael Vick's BFF happens to be Brent Celek, so he's going to get targeted quite a bit, probably catch five catches, about 60, 70 yards. DeSean Jackson, big play wide receiver. Good luck.
I think he does well against him.
Yes, yes. DeSean Jackson, four to five catches, 50 to 60 yards, and I think he's going to get a long touchdown. Because the Giants have a very bad pass defense, and that's their weakness is their DBs. Jeremy Maclin's back; he's still nursing an injury. I don't know how well he's going to do there, so I wouldn't count on too much there. Talk to me, Vic.
I look at this game as a game that Michael Vick needs.
Yes,
he needs this game big time.
Yes.
So those are your brothers. But I also look at it as a make-or-break game for Michael Vick because he's either going to finish the game as a starting quarterback or he's going to finish the game in a hospital. Because once that defensive line gets on him, it's over. They're either going to run McCoy to take the pressure off Vick or they're going to just let him sit out there like a sitting duck with no receivers getting open, and just flopping and dying. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You can play all your regular folks here. Stephen Ridley, or not Ridley, but Cooper, or Riley, whatever the receiver is, he or Avant is going to have to step up, because Maclin disappears, guy. He just disappears. Nothing more you can say about that. He just disappears. But that's all I got on that one, because you mentioned Ramses Barden. He should have a big game. If he has a big game, that means Victor Cruz will not.
Right.
I'm just going to say that right now. If Barden has a good game, Cruz will not. That's all.
Okay. Last but not least is the Monday night matchup between the Bears against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Dallas professes to have the best pass defense, especially against the pass. So Jay Cutler, let me put it this way. The team I had Jay Cutler in, I don't have him on my team anymore. I cut him last week. I got rid of him. Jay Cutler is too inconsistent, and against this pass rush and pass defense of Dallas, is not a good play for me at all. I would not play Jay Cutler at all this week. Matt Forte is supposed to be coming back, but Michael Bush is also going to be involved because that's basically a 50-50 split. So these two guys are running backs three for me, because the fact is, if they're going to have a split against a stout Dallas defense, they're not going to be putting up any good stats in this at all. The only one I could really look at that may have some fantasy value over in Chicago would be Brandon Marshall, who's going to get targeted a lot by Jay Cutler. And I think he's going to get about 5 to 6 catches, maybe 75 yards. And he's going to fight to get into the end zone. I see Chicago on the offensive side being overmatched by Tony Romo, who's definitely the start, in my opinion. DeMarco Murray is another start, even though this is a tough rush defense. Jason Witten, if you don't have any other alternatives in the tight end position, you can start him, but he's been shaky. I'd put him on the bench and wait and see what happens with Jason Witten. But I do like the two wide receivers, Austin Miles and Dez Bryant. I think Chicago can be passed on. And of the two that I talked about, I think Austin Miles gets into the end zone.
Pick Miles Austin guy.
Oh, yes, Miles Austin. Ooh, unbelievable. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Talk to me.
Oh, I know you're waiting for me.
Yes.
I think Alshon Jeffries. I think Alshon Jeffries. Okay, go show this to your mother. No. In the video game, are you serious, guys? Oh, my God. Okay, sorry, dude. We found my okay, I'm on the phone. Found my son's $1,000 hearing aid in a video game box. We've been looking for these things for the past 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
Yes.
How do you have...
Yes.
Well, not to get off subject, but how do you happen to find it in the video game?
Because I just told them to clean up the games and stuff in the family room. And my daughter's putting the game back that she had in the video game. And guess where the hearing aids were? Anyway.
Wow.
Any flippy, flappy, got doggy way is Sunday. Otherwise, I would have said something different.
I hear you. And you're going to church.
Yes. The Lord order my steps, please. Anyway. I see this game as, this kid can't even wear this shirt. I see Alshon Jeffries having a big game. He's going to take that rookie to school. Rookie against rookie. I believe Alshon Jeffries had a great game against Claiborne in college, where South Carolina played LSU. Can't wear
okay.
it, buddy. Get a different shirt. So I think that it's going to be Alshon Jeffries, Brandon Marshall, victory, end zone, dance thing all game long. The reason why I say this is because, for some reason, Dez Bryant just can't seem to get on track, and we talked about this yesterday and last week. He just doesn't know where to go or what to do.
Right.
So, therefore, you know, Miles Austin and Ogletree are going to have to step up. So, we'll see what happens in that one, but I'm picking the Bears, not because I don't like the Cowboys, but because I just think the Bears, for all their dysfunction, are better dysfunctionally active than the Cowboys' dysfunction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it's funny. It's funny that you say that, but okay.
But I think because Claiborne has had trouble covering Alshon Jeffries in the past. So I think he's going to get a lot of targets today. But that's,
okay.
That's my thought on it.
Well, we come to the end of the master plan for this week. I gave you some tidbits of guys, three to be exact. Just Jonathan Grimes from the New York Jets, Jackie Battle from the San Diego Chargers, and Jerome Simpson from the Minnesota Vikings. Those two may make an immediate impact. The last two I mentioned, Simpson and Battle, may make an immediate impact this week. Jonathan Grimes is a running back, is a wait and see. And I like him a lot. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned him. But being that as it may, Vic, you have something to say before we ride it out with Sam and Dave?
You know, it's been a pleasure, as usual, coming on, helping you. Being the co-host is different. I don't get to talk as much, but it's okay.
That's killing you. That kills you.
It is. But, you know, you're the cash cow, so I gotta acquiesce. That's what executives do. We let the talent do what they do. But anyway, great being on the show as usual. Great information. Folks, if you're listening to this program, you're getting a boatload of information, a good boatload of information. Take it. Do what you got to do with it, okay? When you leave, I'm beating Jerry. Today's the rubber match. The winner gets the bragging, right?
He's trying to beat me with my own information, but that's okay.
Well, I have, so it's no big deal. And if Steve Mariucci and Marshall Faulk are right, I'm going for 200 yards with Jamal Charles and 400 yards with Matty Ice, and you're going down in a heap of flames. Beast mode is officially locked in the cage.
Well, let's see. I still may be number one. I happen to be number one in that league. So,
hey, you can be number one in that league, but I'm going to be one to give you your L and become 2-2.
Okay, yeah, and you can't – you just – I know you're going to give it to me big time, but that's okay because I deserve it because I give it to you big time when the tables are turned. So,
of course. All about love.
But let me put it this way. Don't lose again. Don't lose again.
At ESPN1, have I lost? No. Will I lose? No time soon. That money
boy.
Is mine.
Okay. Never humble, always talking. Is that what you're telling me now?
Oh, no. I don't want to steal your mantra. Not at all. I am Mr. FSP to you. That's who I am.
Yes, Mr. FSP. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right,
yes, sir.
Gentlemen,
well,
you've been listening to the Master Plan with Jerry ATM Taylor, Sundays, 10 a.m., here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. We do what we do because we do it for you. You can always catch our other shows, Compassion Bikini. We're not sure when that's going to come back on, but it's scheduled for Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Then on Thursdays, you have the FSP crew show, Jeff Black and Jerry, doing what they do just before the game, getting you straight, as well as talking about what happened in the world of sports. On Friday, No Chaser, they curse and they talk about politics. They do all types of bad things on that show. I have to get the censors on that show or something like that. But they're a good crew. Jerry and Mac Williams, No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Saturdays, it's me, it's Mr. FSP, doing what I do to do it for you, along with JT ATM Money. He's not always taking money. He's an automatic teller machine for Vic. That's what he is. So, with that being said, JT, let's ride out.
And this is how I feel about anyone who listens to the show, and we're out. I want out!